Good morning. Today's Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, a vision of God in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the angels flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for me?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
So the New Testament reading this morning is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Please listen to the word of the Lord. "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.' Jesus answered him, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I called this sermon "Serving with Energy, Intelligence, Imagination, and Love," not realizing it would be the longest sermon title John remembers putting up on the sign outside. But do those words in that order ring any bells? We hear it at least once a year when elders are ordained and installed. One of the constitutional questions is, will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? And there is one last question tailored to which office you are being ordained or installed to. So whether minister, elder, or deacon, it's a slightly different question for each, but they all end in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? We always answer, I will, to these two questions, but do we ever really think about how we will honor this commitment? Do we even remember the questions after they are asked? On this day that in the liturgical calendar this year is Trinity Sunday. So I will try to draw together the scriptures and the Trinity to understand how we might live out these constitutional questions. They're called constitutional because they're in the Book of Order, which is book two of the Constitution of the PCUSA. So the Trinity, three persons in one, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, the holy mystery. It is hard to wrap one's head around three in one. Yet the Trinity has much to teach us about relationship. We can think of the three united in a divine dance, hospitable to each other, no one dominating. We can think of the Trinity as a model of unity and diversity, one, but each independent as well. God is the parent of all creation. Jesus is Christ, mediator between God and humans. And the Holy Spirit is power to transform humans. We can think of the Trinity as a social Trinity, God, Christ, Holy Spirit in relation with each other. God loves Christ, Christ loves God. The Holy Spirit is the love between God and Christ, and the triune God is in relationship with us. We are in relationship with God. We are invited to share in the love between Christ and God. The Holy Spirit brings us into that relationship. It's starting to sound like love triangles. It's really a reminder that the triune God is about relationships with each other and with us. So maybe we can use the model of the Trinity as a basis for our serving with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. Maybe it can be a guide for transforming community. We have to show up working for each other. We have to look at everyone, both those we love and those we don't, and see the image of God and remember the love of the Trinity even in its differences. So we can show love even towards those with whom we differ. Can we see our unity built not on uniformity, but rather a reconciliation of the differences? Dan Migliori, who was a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, actually wrote the book on theology. And in writing about the Trinity, he poses this question, which is a little long but powerful. If the doctrine of the Trinity is the distinctively Christian understanding of God, and if this understanding is to give direction and form to the Christian way of being in the world, the question that has to be put to the church today is obvious. Is the God of Christian devotion and practice the God who was the basis of personal life and relationship, the foundation of richly diverse human community, and the hope of the transformation of the world by the power of compassionate love? In short, do the personal and corporate lives of Christians give evidence of commitment to the triune God? That is a question for us. How do we show up in the world? Are we renewing and transforming community? Are we modeling the love of the Trinity? So let's turn to today's scriptures. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and Pharisees are no friend of Jesus. He comes to Jesus in the night, symbolizing that he doesn't really understand, and he really does not understand the concept of being born from above. He wonders if you go back into your mother's womb, but Jesus clarifies that he means born of water and spirit. The water symbolizes baptism, that act of entering the kingdom of God. Spirit invites us to personal transformation. The passage says, The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. We don't know where that personal transformation will take us. We don't know how the Spirit will transform us to show up in the world. The personal transformation has to lead to community transformation. We can't sit at home praying or come to church and then go out in the world and do nothing. Strengthening our inner spirituality should lead us to showing God's love to the world. We do know that Nicodemus was changed by his encounter with Jesus. When the Pharisees sent priests to arrest Jesus, and they did not, the Pharisees were man. Nicodemus, who remember was one of them, challenged them and reminded them that Jewish law said someone could not be guilty without a trial. And then Nicodemus shows up again when Jesus is killed. He, along with Joseph of Arimathea, prepared Jesus' body for burial. Nicodemus was transformed by his encounter with Jesus to show love to the world. But the John passage does not end with Nicodemus, and I think this is why the passage is read on Trinity Sunday. We have already heard about the Spirit, and now we hear those familiar words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The world has never been as perfect as it was at creation in Genesis. God sent Jesus to show God's love to the world so that the world could be saved. God sent the second person of the Trinity to show the world what relationship looks like and what unity and diversity looks like. Now, Jesus did have a spiritual side. He prayed. He prayed with the disciples. He prayed by himself. But that prayer led him to showing love in the world. He fed 4,000. He fed 5,000. He healed the blind, the leper, the non-abled bodies. Jesus uses that inner spiritual strength to show up in the community. He served with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. He models the love of the triune God to the world. Now, the Isaiah passage is another scripture used on Trinity Sunday, I think because the verse, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory." It's sort of a stretch. For me, what the passage is about is an encounter with the mystery of God and personal transformation. The God that Isaiah encountered in the temple was so large, Isaiah could only see the hem of God's robe. Such a small part of God to see, but such an impact on Isaiah's life. Isaiah is purified by the hot coal. That purification made Isaiah sensitive to God's call. He responded immediately to that call. "Here I am, send me." Why the call? Because God's people were not showing God's love in the world. And God needed a prophet to warn them to change their ways. Remember that the book of Isaiah is in three parts: pre-exile, exile, and the hope of returning from exile. This call is in pre-exile. So it is clear that the people did not change since they were exiled, but Isaiah answered the call to show his community God's love and justice. His personal transformation led him to show up in the world. So the question today is, how are we, people of the triune God, showing up in the world? What are we doing as community and what are we doing individually? Come to worship, we experience growth in our inner spirituality. How are we present in the world? The world today is a place that is not always showing God's love and justice. There is hunger, homelessness, racial unrest, and war. Our denomination does speak out on these issues. It has named the doctrine of discovery as sinful. It calls out racism and considers reparations. It also provides resources to the churches to help in working on many contemporary issues. The denomination is showing up in the world. Now, this church was one of the original host churches for Family Promise. 4 to 5 times a year, we hosted homeless families overnight and fed them. We showed God's love and justice. Jody Sackett continues to gather a group to prepare a meal when families are staying at St. George's. We continue to show hospitality of the triune God. I keep hoping to gather a group of people to do advocacy. We can write, we can call. There are lots of issues that need advocacy. We did participate in the Fair Food Campaign of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. So this is a campaign for the tomato pickers in Florida. Their living and working conditions are terrible and unhealthy. The pay is minimal. Trying to get the producers to pay more did not work. The coalition developed an advocacy campaign to influence end users. They started with Taco Bell. The denomination passed an overture boycotting Taco Bell in solidarity. The end result was a signed contract that paid one penny more a pound. It made a huge difference in the life of the workers. And so the campaign continued with other fast food companies and then progressed to grocery stores. And one of the grocery stores was Trader Joe's, and the campaign was the same time the store was starting up in Shrewsbury. So Trader Joe's corporate office received a lot of postcards from zip codes around here, urging them to sign the contract. I like to think that our showing up in the world made a difference. The store opened up in March of 2011, and the contract was signed in February of 2012. And so, in my hopes of interesting people in advocacy around care of God's creation, there is a campaign right now in New Jersey about adding a green amendment to the Bill of Rights section of the state's constitution. It would recognize and protect the rights of all people, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, or income, including future generations, to pure water, clean air, a stable climate, and healthy environments. That is something I think we can all get behind. We all want pure water and clean air, and so do our siblings in Newark and Camden, those who live in more polluted areas of the state. Advocating for this amendment is showing up in the world. So you can go to njgreenamendment.org to find out more about it and to find actions that you can do, and maybe there are actions we can do as a faith community. And when I think about showing up in the world, I think of Diane Burke. I hope you all saw the video that was in May's Oak Leaves. Because of their love for God's creation, John and Diane are building a passive house and have grown a large organic garden. But their plans are not only to have a house they can live in, but a house that can be used as a learning experience. How many people might be influenced to build their own passive homes or organic gardens? It is showing up in the world. So on this Trinity Sunday, how is our encounter with the holy mystery of the triune God going to influence our response to the many issues in the world? How are we going to enact love and justice in the world so that the world experiences the holy hospitality, the holy unity in diversity, the holy relationships that are modeled in the Trinity? How are we going to show up and be present in the world? So I will end with the constitutional questions again. Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? May it be so. Amen.